The following program is brought to you by the friends and partners of Andrew Womack Ministries, celebrating 40 years of sharing God's unconditional love and grace. Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack. Today, Andrew illustrates that whether we believe or whether we have varying levels of unbelief is determined by what we focus our attention on. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth, and this is also the last day of my teaching on hardness of heart. I've been teaching on this for 3 weeks, and we had the teaching basically broken into hardness of heart, the crisis, hardness of heart, the cause, and hardness of heart, the cure. And of course, this last week I've been talking about what is the cure for a hardened heart. Today's going to be my last day to offer the album, the book. And we have a book on this entitled Hardness of Heart. I wrote this one, I forget exactly, but it's probably 20 years ago. This has been a foundational truth that God has been using in my life. And we also have DVDs on that. And today's our last day to offer you those materials and also the single teaching entitled Hardness of Heart, the Cure. So please listen and please take advantage of this offer because you need to get this. I promise you this is something that every single person breathing needs this. If you're breathing, you need it. Amen. I can promise you. And so I've been ministering from Matthew chapter 17 about where the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Why couldn't we cast this demon out?" And he says, "It's because of your unbelief." He didn't say it's because of your little faith or because you don't have any faith. It is possible to believe and yet disbelieve at the same time. And most people don't understand that. They just think if I have faith, it should work. Well, not necessarily. Jesus, of course, had faith, and he could not do many mighty works in his hometown because of their unbelief. Mark chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Jesus had to separate people from the unbelief of the multitude, cast out all of the people who mocked him, take a man by the hand and lead him out of town to get him away from unbelief, because unbelief will negate, counterbalance, dilute your faith. Faith, if it's by itself, is strong enough that you could say to a mountain, "Remove and be cast into the sea," and it'll obey you. But it has to be pure. And the problem is that most people don't have pure faith. They have faith that God can do things, but we have one foot in God and one foot in the world. And in the same way that that faith comes by hearing, unbelief comes by hearing. And we are hearing much more of the unbelief and the negativism and the gripe and the complaint and the fear of this world than what we should ever hear. You know, I just recently did a series about Uganda and what's happening in Uganda. And we see great miracles happen over there, and we've seen some wonderful things happen. But even among the Ugandan pastors that I'm associated with over there, they talk about that in Kampala, in the large capital city of Kampala, it's harder to see people receive than it is out in the villages. And then if you go up into the mountains to the tribal people, it gets easier and easier. And, you know, there's probably multiple answers to that, but one common denominator that works not only in Uganda, but in the U.S. or Europe, wherever you're watching this program, is that the larger cities, the more developed they are, the more access to television and movies and all of these things, what it does, it grabs some of our attention. And it should be obvious that not all of television and not all of news and not all of movies and not all books and not all radio is ministering godly things. Most of us are exposed to more unbelief than what we ever should be exposed to. And in the more developed countries, even in Uganda, in the more developed cities, people's hearts are allowing unbelief in that dilutes their faith, and you see less results in the big cities than you see the further you get out. The more people are removed from all of the cares of this life and things, the more receptive they are, the more sensitive their heart is to the Lord. This is why you normally see more miracles happen in third world countries, because those people aren't letting the cares of this life overwhelm them the way that they are in these developed countries where you have so much junk being thrown at us. I mean, we have hundreds of channels of unbelief piped into our house so that we not only have our problems and the problems of our own family, we have the problems of people on the other side of the world showing real time, live, right in front of us, taking on the cares and the worries of the whole world. There's not very many generations on the face of the earth, I don't guess there's any generation except ours, that has ever had so much unbelief and hardship and hurt and pain and things thrown at us as this generation of Christians. And you know what that does? It hardens our heart. It ministers unbelief, and that unbelief counteracts and negates just the simplicity of faith. If you really want to see faith produce its proper results in your life, you have to get rid of this unbelief. You can't just keep building faith. Imagine that I've got two thermometers right here, and one of them measures faith and the other one measures unbelief. Most people are really ignorant. They don't even have any way of measuring how much unbelief they have. They don't even focus on this. They just think, I need to build my faith and build it, and they want to get their faith way up here. You know, a simpler way of doing it is just taking a little mustard seed amount of faith, and that's enough to see the dead raised. That's enough to see a mountain cast into the sea. And just pull the plug over here on unbelief and drain this down to zero. And if you get this measurement or this gauge of unbelief down to zero, well, then a little mustard seed is all you need to see the dead raised. Man, that's so simple. You got to have somebody to help you to misunderstand that. And yet most people just have accepted and embraced, you know, unbelief and all of the fear and the negativism and the gripes and the complaints of the world as just being normal, and they don't even realize it, and they are amassing huge levels over here of unbelief. Man, I could illustrate this a million different ways. When I minister to people who've had a lot of medicine in their background, training to be medical doctors or nurses, did you know that those are usually the hardest to get healed? You know why? Because they've been taught so much unbelief. And some of you may think, unbelievable, all they're taught is about medicine and what this... But I'm saying that they never present it as saying, now here's what happens in the natural. But of course, if the person is believing God, then that trumps everything else. Faith supersedes, all things are possible to him that believes. That's not the way they teach medical people. They just tell you, no, this is the way it is. You see this, this person's got so long to live. They are going to die. There is no cure. You know what? If it's presented that way as absolute, and not acknowledging that there's a spirit world and that their medicine has limitations and that this isn't the way it has to be. If it's not presented that way, well, then it's unbelief, and that wars against their faith. And therefore, medical people are some of the hardest ones to get healed because they have had this medical knowledge, so much training drilled into them. They see patients that aren't believing God, and they see failure over and over and over, and so they just get to where they predict this, and it's this unbelief that comes at them that hinders their faith from operating. If they didn't know so much about it, they would be a lot better off. So how do you deal with this? I talked about that it says in Matthew 17:21, this kind, talking about this kind of unbelief, not this kind of demon, but this kind of unbelief only goes out through prayer and fasting. And yesterday I began to talk about prayer. The reason prayer helps you to overcome what I call natural unbelief, not an unbelief that's based on you just don't know what the Word says, not an unbelief that comes because you've been taught the wrong thing, but just an unbelief that here's what you're believing, but here's what you see. That naturally is going to cause you to doubt. How do you overcome that kind of doubt? Well, prayer, you start speaking to a God that you can't see, and you see proof that He exists. You hear a God that you can't hear with your physical ears, but you hear with your heart. And over a period of time, you train your senses that there is more than just the five senses. Let me read this verse to you out of Hebrews chapter 5. It says, everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses. That's talking about what you see, taste, hear, smell, and feel, your five senses. You have your senses exercised to discern both good and evil. This is saying that you have to exercise. You know, when you exercise, you just don't go lift weights one time and that lasts you for the rest of your life. This is talking about consistent use. You don't just train for a marathon the day of the marathon. You have to start in advance, and you have to do something consistently to maintain conditioning. You've got to exercise 3 days a week. To increase conditioning, you've got to exercise 4 days a week. And so this is talking about just you continually do something over and over. You can train your senses to discern both good and evil. And so this is saying that, you know, you can reach a place where even though you see something, like say, for instance, you've got a goiter on your neck. I prayed with a woman in Decatur one time who had a goiter on her neck, and it was very obvious. It was standing out. I prayed with her. She fell on the ground. I went on praying and ministering to other people, and she began to start shaking. And within 10 minutes, that goiter was totally gone. Praise God. I saw that happen in Phoenix one time to another person. But you know what happens if you pray, say, for a goiter, and then you open up your eyes and look in the mirror and it's still there? Instantly, there's going to be a thought of, well, it didn't work. Nothing has happened. What you've got to do is through prayer and fasting, you have to educate yourself and train your senses, exercise them to learn that there is more going on than what you can discern with your little peanut brain. You can't see what God is doing in the spirit realm. Sometimes it takes a period of time from what happened in the spirit world to come into the physical world. You know, if any of you don't understand this, I got a great teaching entitled What to Do When Your Prayers Seem Unanswered. And on there I talk about Daniel and how God commanded his answer. There was twice that this happened. One time it took 3 minutes from the time God gave the command for the answer to come. The next time it was 3 weeks. But God moved instantly in both cases. But from our perspective, it took 3 minutes and the next time 3 weeks. It didn't take God 3 minutes and 3 weeks. It took 3 minutes and 3 weeks to bypass the demonic opposition and stuff and to manifest. But God answered Daniel's prayer instantly. When you pray for something, the truth is that there are tremendous things happening in the spirit realm. There's tremendous things happening on the inside of you. Healing doesn't come from the outside in. Healing actually comes from the inside out. God releases it into your spirit, and it has to pass through your mind and then into your physical body. And there's things going on that you can't see or perceive with your five senses. How do you get to a place to where if you pray for something and your five senses tell you that nothing has happened, you still believe that something is happening? Well, the way you do it is through prayer and fasting. I've already talked about prayer. Here's the reason that fasting will help you. Because your appetite, what you taste, is one of your strongest senses that you have. And it's probably one of the very first that can be, or it's one of the easiest to aggravate or to touch. For instance, you know, if you go without food, with most people, it's just an hour or two or 4 hours, and I guarantee you, you're hungry. Most people that aren't used to fasting, I mean, to go a day without food is just horrendous to most people. They'll get headaches, they'll get weak, they'll get irritable. I mean, you can touch a person's sense of taste or appetite quickly, and it's such a strong desire that I've actually heard stories of people who've eaten other people, cannibalized. I remember a story about the Donner Party where little kids actually ate their mother who died in this storm in an effort to keep alive. Of course, here in Colorado, there's the famous Alfred Packer that ate a whole hunting party out in Lake City area. And anyway, things like this have happened. People have eaten other people in an effort to stay alive. So my point is that, you know what, this is a strong, strong desire. And if you start fasting and denying this flesh, then if your flesh has been dominating you, your five senses are controlling you so that you just can't believe that something is happening, that you can't see, taste, hear, smell, or feel, if you are trapped in that bondage, how do you break it? Well, one of the best ways is to go on a fast. And you start denying your appetite. And you know, contrary to what some of you may believe, you do not die by noon the first day of a fast. Your body will try and tell you you're starving to death, that you're getting weak, that something's happening. The truth is that fasting 24 hours a week is actually good for you. The medical professionals say this. It's a way of flushing your system and getting impurities out of you. It's not going to hurt you. You won't die by noon the first day. As a matter of fact, with a healthy person, you can usually go 40 days before your body starts cannibalizing itself and eating the muscles and the bones and things like this. You can usually go 40 days before it actually reaches starvation. That's the reason that when Jesus fasted 40 days and the devil came to him, it was no longer just a flesh, a feeling, a desire that he had. He was in a crisis situation. He needed food, and it was a major temptation to him. So you can go longer than half a day, one day, or 2 days without eating. It's not going to kill you. But your flesh, your appetite will try and convince you that you're dying. And, you know, some people think, well, I thought that this fast was going to be wonderful, where I heard angels sing and I saw visions and God appeared to me and I had goosebumps run up and down my spine. You know, that's not what a fast is for. A fast, according to Isaiah chapter 58, is to afflict you. And what it does, if you have been dominated by your five senses, again, one of those strongest senses is your taste or your appetite, you go to deny it, and I guarantee you that flesh will rise up in rebellion and throw a fit. And if you start getting weak and a headache and irritable and angry and bitter, that you're doing exactly what a fast is meant to do. It's flushing all of this carnality to the surface. Things that have been there and have been hidden, they're now being brought out, and all of your flesh and all of your carnality is coming to the top. And you are going to have to make a decision. If you continue on that fast, then you are going to have to deny that sense of taste or appetite. And you're going to have to say, like Jesus did, that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You're going to have to get to where you start drawing strength from the spirit realm. And especially if you fast a prolonged period of time. You know, if you go more than a couple of days, 2 or 3 days, once you start getting beyond that, I guarantee you, you start getting to a place to where it's more than just appetite. Your body physically needs nourishment. And for you to survive, you need to draw on the spirit man. You need to let the Word of God encourage you. And if you start doing that, you reach a place to where, honestly, you lose your appetite and you begin to start functioning. It's not entirely supernaturally, but it's, I believe, under the influence and under the anointing and the blessing of God. You get to where you receive your strength back. All of a sudden, man, your appetite's gone. You're feeling good. And I'm talking about if you do it correctly. And it shows you and proves to you that man doesn't live by bread alone, that there is more than just these five senses, that there is a real God, that there is a real born-again spirit, that you can get strength from the Word. You can actually draw physical strength from the Spirit of God. And you know what it's doing? It's just training your senses, as it says over there in Hebrews 5:14, that there is good and evil out there, that there is the spirit world. There's more than just the physical world. And then when you pray for something, and if you don't see it come to pass, your eyes, your ears, your feelings are going to be telling you it didn't work. But if you've been training yourself, if you fasted, all you got to do is say, look, there's more going on than what you can discern, five senses. And your five senses will say, oh, yeah, I remember those fasts. I remember that we've already learned that man doesn't live by bread alone. There is a spiritual world. There are things going on. I've prayed and I've talked to a God that I can't see, and I heard a God who I can't hear. And you know what? Your five senses can be trained that there's more, and they will submit. They will yield, and you'll be able to overcome what I call this natural type of unbelief. You'll see something, but you'll say, but I know that there's more going on. And your five senses will yield because they've been trained. But you know what? If you don't spend much time praying, if you don't spend much time fasting, if you live totally in the physical realm and just let your five senses lead you around by the nose and dominate you and control you, and then all of a sudden you go to speaking to pain in your body and say, pain, I command you to leave in the name of Jesus. Well, then your five senses, if the pain isn't instantly gone, one of those senses of feel is going to say, well, it's still there. You aren't healed. And if you try and say, sense of feeling, I don't care what you say, I believe that by my stripes I'm healed. Your feelings are going to say, who are you to tell me anything? I tell you when to eat, what to eat, how much to eat. It's been 20 years since you have ever denied yourself anything. You feed me, and basically your five senses will be a spoiled brat. It won't submit to you. It won't yield to the control of your spirit and to the faith that you're operating in. You have to discipline it. You have to train your senses, and you do that through prayer and fasting. If you haven't been praying and fasting, then in a sense, your five senses are going to dominate you. They aren't going to yield. They aren't disciplined. They'll throw a fit. And through them, this natural type of unbelief will come to you. And even though you have faith that God has healed you, your five senses are going to minister so much unbelief that it will negate that faith and keep it from operating. Man, that is a powerful truth. If you've understood what I've said right here, this could revolutionize your life. I guarantee you, this is something that is reality in my life. I know I've got faith. I know that the Word of God works. I've seen it happen. But you know what? I constantly fight this battle because we live in the world, but we aren't supposed to be of the world. And you don't ever just get to where you don't have any doubt and unbelief coming at you. You have people speak things at you. You encounter things that minister unbelief. And I tell you what, it takes effort to focus and to stay focused on God. And some of the things, what Jesus said right here, is that fasting and prayer will help you to focus on the spirit realm. It'll help you to open up your sixth sense of faith and get to where you operate in it, and it becomes just as valid as any of your five senses. And you get to where faith is just as valid, just as real. If you can't see it, taste it, hear it, smell it, or feel it, you can believe it. And your other five senses will accept that because they've been trained, they've been disciplined, they've seen it work. But if you haven't been operating in that, I guarantee you, you aren't going to be able to overcome this natural type of unbelief that just comes through association with the world. And that's a powerful truth. You know, if I had time, I could turn to Romans chapter 4 and show you that this is exactly what happened to Abraham. Abraham didn't have huge faith. He had a pure faith. And it says that when God gave him a promise, he considered not his own body now dead. He was nearly 100 years old. He didn't consider. If you'll go back to my teaching I did on what causes a hardened heart, in Mark chapter 6, verse 52, it says their heart was hardened because they considered not the miracle of the loaves. Whatever you fail to consider, your heart becomes hardened to. Abraham failed to consider his negative circumstances, how old he was and how old his wife was. And because he refused to think that way, because he was so focused on God, therefore he didn't have huge amounts of unbelief. He didn't even consider. He didn't study, ponder, deliberate, examine, or think upon the deadness of his wife's womb, his own inability to have a child. He was just focused on what God said, and because of it, his little mustard seed amount of faith was enough to see this miracle come to pass. I'm telling you, this is a powerful truth. You need this teaching on hardness of heart. Let me remind you that today is our last day. This is a great teaching, but we are going to start a brand new teaching. I'm excited about sharing with you about Don't Limit God on our next Monday's program. I encourage you to listen then, but remember that today is our last day to offer you this teaching on hardness of heart. Our announcer is going to give you some information, and I encourage you to call or write the numbers that you see on your screen and request these materials. They'll be a blessing to you.
Andrew's four-part teaching titled Hardness of Heart is available in a CD album or in a DVD album as seen on Andrew's daily TV broadcast. Each is offered for a gift of any amount to the work of this ministry. Ask for number T1003 when you contact us. And be sure to specify the CD album or the As Seen on TV DVD album. Andrew's book titled Hardness of Heart is also available for a gift of any amount. Ask for item T303 when you write or call. The fourth teaching in the audio CD album, The Cure, is also available for a donation of any amount. We encourage everyone to send a gift, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD free of charge. Request teaching number TK59 when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
I'd like to remind you that today is our last day to offer you these products on hardness of heart. Remember that we have this book. I tell you, this is a powerful book. I've read this. I know some of you think that's weird that I'd read my own books, but I did. I read it and I got convicted and realized I'd started letting my heart be hardened in some areas, and it ministers to me. This is powerful. I also have it on DVD. I also have it on CD. And I encourage you to please get these materials. Today is our last day to offer you the album, the book, the DVD, and we have the third teaching in this set that is available as a free gift to you. If you'll listen, our announcer will give you information about that, and please call or write today.
You can use your credit card when you order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Again, that number is 719-635-1111. Or you can order ministry materials on our website 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. There, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, but you'll discover a wealth of resources free for you to download for yourself and share with others. There are over 400 teachings at your fingertips, and more than 7 years of TV broadcast you can view right there on the web. There's also over 10 years of radio programs available for download as MP3 or for you to listen to online. Again, it's free as you navigate through the web pages of awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80934. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to give all the men watching a special invitation to join me on February the 5th through the 7th here at our headquarters in Colorado Springs for a men's advance. We're going to have big 6'7" Dave Hinton leading praise and worship. And I tell you, he was just at our minister's conference and he stole the show. He is awesome. I'm going to be teaching the word. Also, Wendell Parr, the director of our Charis Bible College, will be ministering. We have a lot of fun activities and chili suppers, and I think we're going to go bowling. And it's just a great, great time, and we always see men's lives change. So remember that this is February the 5th through the 7th, right here at our headquarters in Colorado Springs.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs for the annual Charis Bible College Men's Advance February 5th through the 7th, Houston, Texas, February 12th through the 14th, and in Atlanta, Georgia, March 5th through the 7th. He'll also be in Colorado Springs for the Charis Bible College Weekend, March 12th through the 14th, and in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.